Today we are going to continue our series. We have been studying, and last week we read from Colossians chapter 1, and we were learning about the big picture. The Apostle Paul is dealing with some problems in the church in Colossae, and he said that Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of the dominions, kings, and empires, but he also is the Lord of and head of the church. And he came to us to show us the way to the Father and invite us to be part of his big project, which is reconcile his creation. And we are called to live for him only when we surrender our lives completely to him. And now, the Bible study we have been using in our home groups, Fruitfulness on the Front Line, suggests that there are many ways that we could be fruitful on our front line. School, work, neighborhood, college, university, with our friends. But this Bible study mentioned 6 M's. I don't want you to have this another 6 M's to do, but 6 M's that help us to reflect about our journey as we join God in his project, which is to reconcile his creation. And he mentions that we are to model godly character, because our character have to change. That will be our subject today. Our character have to change. Sometimes Christians said, I was born like this and I will never change. They have to put up with me. But he or she doesn't realize the other people have to put up. You know, it's two ways. We are to model our character. And that is our subject today. But then also we will be studying about making a good work. The moment our character change, we are going to do a better job, a better work for God. And you know what? Later we will be able to minister grace and love. But if we don't change, we will not be able to minister grace and love. And then as we do that, we are going to mold our culture. Our family is going to change. Our friends are going to change. Our church is going to change. Our workplace is going to change. And at some point, we are going to be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. At some point in our lives, we will be challenged to leave our comfort zone and to fight. Finally, Owen was reminding us, we are to be 24/7 a messenger of the gospel. And those are the 6 M's. Today, I don't intend to speak about all of them. So today, we are going just to talk about modeling godly character. I receive Jesus, I am a Christian. Hey, my character have to change. Our text for this morning is Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. But before we are not going to read it. I'm going to be reading it as I speak this morning. But before that, I just want to share with you 2 verses that the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, wrote. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, I'm going to read from the NLT. He says this, and I love this prayer. So Paul, he sent his letter. He's talking about modeling godly character. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. I love how this translation, this version puts these words. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. That is Paul's prayer. Let's spend a moment in silence to pray before we continue. Let's prepare ourselves as we are reading God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to your house. We want to sing your praises. We want to spend time with your people. But now we want to hear your voice as we read your word. So, Father, we place into your hands this time. My Lord, I confess that I am a sinner and I need your mercy. But I pray that may your Holy Spirit help me to be an instrument just to channel what you have prepared for us this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Character. When we see a serviceman or servicewoman, sometimes people, I joined the Navy because I love the uniform. I think I look better in uniform. And that was, but I love serving. And that, but when you are there, your character have to develop. Have to be far away, and that's painful. Sometimes you have to be in difficult places, that's painful. Your character have to develop. You have to have discipline. Some people find it difficult, but character have to develop. You see a doctor, a good one. No, I don't say a good-looking one, but a good one. And if that person is a doctor by vocation, character have to be developed. Sometimes this person will be, some of my friends, they are doctors, and maybe we are in a meeting, and the telephone goes, and he or she have to go. And you have to go. Character is developed. A judge, if he looks like she or he have the power to do whatever with people's life, character have to be developed. What about us as Christians? That is our profession. Well, not our profession. That's what we are. 24/7. What about, you know, how to model godly character in tough times and easy ones with difficult people and delightful people? How might you manifest the fruit of the Spirit? You know, love, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Because that's the reality. Sometimes we have to deal with difficult people, even in churches. Oh, no. That's the reality. Which one are you struggle for you? Which of this spirit? I don't expect you to answer. You know, but are you praying that you grow in Christ's likeness? Do you want to have that one? Modeling godly character. Sometimes we don't think about these things. That's the reason why I love this Bible study. And the first two chapters of this letter to the Galatians, during this study, we are going to be studying more in the whole book of Colossians. But here, for this particular one, modeling godly character, the first two chapters of the book of Galatians are concerned with Paul's apostolic authority. He's saying, I am an apostle, and he explains that. But in the third and fourth chapter, Paul talks about the doctrine of justification by faith. So Paul says, you are saved by faith, you are saved by faith. But chapter 5 is a practical one. Chapter 5, it is about the life of liberty, it's about freedom. And that here in verses 1 to 12, the problem the church had is with human performance. You remember the church in Colossae? These people came, you don't have to eat that, you need to dress like that, you need to sing hymns only, you need to sing only modern music because the old hymns are awful. That's some people say that. I can't believe it. I hear those things. I like to be honest about that. And that was the problem in Colossae. But now here in the church of the Galatians, the problem was the circumcision. It was something that said, okay, it's okay that you come to church, but you need to be circumcised. Otherwise, you will not be the real stuff. Like sometimes in church, they say, if you don't do services like that, you are not a real church. That was the problem. And now, Paul is talking about freedom. Freedom. And then, In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he said, do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So Paul concerns for the Galatians if that they don't allow themselves to get sidetracked from the faith in Jesus. They are in danger of listening to those who suggest that Jesus was great, the resurrection was great, but they need to have what? Circumcision. And Paul wants to remind these believers that Jesus is enough. Our lives can be used by God to be part of his plan to reconcile the creation, because everything Jesus did, his work is sufficient. So the Apostle Paul first warns the Galatians of the danger in verses 2 to 6, Galatians 5, 2 to 6. There is a danger, he says. The gift that Paul suggests is most in danger is freedom. You are going to lose your freedom. You are supposed to be free. And then he said, that freedom is from the law on one side, he says to the Galatians, and from sin on the other. So the Galatians are having this struggle between the law and sin. And then he comes with this beautiful verse. I love Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Shall we read this verse together? I think one of the most beautiful verses that we could have in churches. Shall we read together Galatians chapter 5, verse 6? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. What a wonderful verse. This movement, the people in this church in Galatians, it was going towards ritualism and legalism. It was not a divine movement. Righteousness, says Paul, lies in faith and is obtained in the Spirit without ceremonies. The most important when we are in Christ is not liturgy or what we do or what we don't do or part of religious rituals. What counts, Paul says, is faith expressed itself through love. That is how we express our faith. Not because we sing a particular music. Not because we dress in a particular way. Not because we come to church every Sunday. No. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, neither any liturgy avail anything, no uncircumcision, not because we don't do something, but faith working through love. So the first thing Paul starts talking about here, how to model godly character, you know, he says, we can abuse freedom. We can abuse freedom. And he's talking about the abuse of freedom. There is a constant struggle about flesh and spirit. How many of you struggle every day? We sing. I struggle every day. We sing. The moment I wake up, I don't want to wake up. I'm going to get up. And you know, you just want to be there. You know, we struggle with sin. Every day, every moment. So he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Freedom is a wonderful thing. But self-control makes it beautiful. I'm going to repeat that. Freedom is a wonderful thing. But self-control is what makes it beautiful. No oppression. And Paul says we are to consider other people. Brothers, the word brother here is a key word because he's saying you are now part of the kingdom of God. You need to think differently. And Paul always used military language. Guard your hearts. Be aware. Have you noticed that Paul uses? Take every opportunity. Guard your minds. So what happened? The Jews describe our minds as a seabed. So we have many information and all that. And we have the freedom to do whatever. What we have here. Our lifestyle is the evidence of where our true priorities lies. And biblical freedom is a freedom from sin. It's a freedom from the power of darkness, not a freedom to do whatever we want to do. The religious leaders wanted to enslave the church with regulations. Paul is strongly saying, you are no slaves, you are free. If you are to become a slave, is that what you want? You are a slave, you have to become a slave to serve one another. Some people believe that religion is a device intended to secure immunity from the results of moral faults. Okay, I'm doing religion because I don't want to be a bad person. That's not what Christianity is all about. It says we can abuse freedom. Some people believe that they can pay a penance or a confession of their faults to a priest or a minister to prevent a wrong course of actions. That's not the case. Freedom must be maintained, but it must not be abused. For the Apostle Paul says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. I am free in Jesus, and you sing. And then you come on Sundays and say, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. And then Monday, again. That's abuse of freedom. We are saved by grace. God loves us. That's not what Paul is talking about here. The abuse of freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law is incredible. The entire law is fulfilled here. Paul explained that the way to restrain freedom from breaking out into unsettling and moral abuse, it is ruled by love. We love to come to church, but how we live, how we love one another, says something different. I have a person who used to come to church, and he's from Nigeria. And one day I used to have like a very formal services, and sometimes I can't do very contemporary services, you know, right? And one day after a very formal service, like, you know, hymns and sit down and pray, I said, do you miss maybe the churches in Nigeria? They are quite happy and noisy. And, you know, I was honest. Do you miss it, my friend? You know, I'm so sorry. And I said, no, he said. All right, okay, tell me. Well, sometimes I used to go to a big church in Nigeria, etc. I'm not saying anything against you, but that was his testimony, okay? Don't take it wrong. He said, they were jumping and saying, they said they're having the spirit, they were speaking in tongues and everything. The moment we were leaving the church in the parking lot, in the parking space, the same people who were blessing people, they were using a different kind of language to address people because they just cut their way. Can you imagine just leaving the church? That could happen to us. In that day, I was concerned about it because when I am driving, I am a little bit, you know. Freedom. Freedom. Paul is harsh, particularly in 1 Corinthians. He usually takes what the wrong teacher says are saying. You know, he's used half of what they are saying, and he used another thing just to bring his teaching. It is difficult sometimes when we try to take scriptures out of context. For example, some people says it's best if we all remain single. That he's just talking about. Some people say, you have to remain single if you want to serve the Lord. No, that's not what Paul is saying. He carries on saying something different. So here he says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. The problem here, there are some disputes in the church, and I don't know what is happening. I think it was very awful, a very awful church for Paul to use this language. If you bite, it's not telling that if I don't like how my brother is teaching in Sunday school or my sister is doing dancing, I'm not called to bite and devour. You see, he's saying, be careful. You will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. What is the end of disputes? Destroy. When the devil tempts us to disputes and disagreements within the church and our families, it will lead us into destruction. The church will be destroyed My family will be destroyed if I allow the devil to carry on with me. I have the freedom to react. You see my point? We have the freedom to react. But Paul is saying, stop biting and devour each other. You will be destroyed. A spiritual person is not free from the lust of the flesh. Sometimes we feel, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with this person. I don't know what I'm going to do with this group of people. But we do not submit to letting them, you know, this lust and sin to reign our heads in our lives. We can read Paul's positions about this in Romans 8. I'm not going to read all Romans 8, but you could read it at home. He's dealing in Romans 8 very, very quickly. It's not there, but life through the Spirit. He says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We know where we are not condemned, because the Spirit is living in us. But those who belong to Christ and Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. That is what verse 24 says in Galatians. But in Romans chapter 8, let me read a few verses from Romans chapter 8. He said, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And he finished in verse 14 in Romans chapter 8. He said, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We are to be led by the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 24 said, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. So my character have to develop. How many times we struggle? With our passions, our prejudice, our weaknesses. Perhaps you are struggling with addiction today. And nobody knows. God knows. And he wants you and me to crucify my flesh. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 26, says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Sometimes we do something and that shows what is going on in our hearts. And we need to be careful. But what to do with our freedom? That's the second thing he said. What to do with our freedom? Verse 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We have this struggle, and Paul is talking about, this is a continuous struggle in our flesh. The conflict is real. Romans chapter 7 says, the conflict is real. Sometimes Paul says, the things I want to do, I cannot do. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. That struggle is in us. False teachers are saying, well, you are going to be saved if you do this, do that. You need to circumcise yourself and you will be okay. How we worship, how we dress, what we eat. No, said Paul, you are saved by the Spirit. As we are saved by the Spirit, we will be led by the Spirit. Remember Nicodemus? You must be born again. Jesus talked about the Spirit. We are saved by the Spirit. And Paul, he tries to say what to do with our freedom. Paul tries to warn the Galatians in chapter 3. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the words of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? As we are saved by the Spirit, we will be led by the Spirit. Some people said, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. Why? We are going to be having baptism lessons and membership lessons. And please keep your names if you want to go to that. But some people say, I want to be baptized because I want to be in heaven. We are not saved by being baptized. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And we surrender our lives to him, and the Spirit lead us. That's what Paul is saying here. Galatians, what are you doing? oh, we don't go to that church because that's not the real stuff. We have to do it this way. We are to surrender to the Spirit in prayer, Bible study, having fellowship together, and obedience. Paul says, what to do with our freedoms? We are to live by the Spirit. We are... The text, another text that could help us is Romans chapter... It's a lot of text. I will not put there. Romans chapter 14, if you want to see examples of how we deal, you know, it talks about the weak and the strong. You remember when they have this problem? And Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, say, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Romans chapter 14. Check, Paul is trying to teach here there is no bound about what we do, what we don't do. We need to love this person. Some people will agree or maybe will not agree about petty differences. And we know, as I always say, some churches are split because they moved the piano. Oh. Why did you move the piano? My family gave it 200 years ago. Well, you need to... We are going to paint the church and... One group said blue, other people said purple. Wow, I don't think so they're going to say purple. But anyway, out of the color of the church, they split the churches. Character. Romans chapter 14, rich man, it's about food. And we need to be careful. What to do with our freedom? We are called to love one another. And that's one evidence of the people of God is love for one another. Galatians chapter 5 verses 17 and 18 says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. I want to do it this way. I am holier than this person. I am holier than the deacons who are now about to make a decision. I am more equipped. And the spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are to let, you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We are going to struggle with sin, but we are not going to sin. Amen? We are going to struggle. I struggle with sin every day. Do you? The difference is when we do not allow these sins to dominate our lives, and we are to surrender to Jesus daily, who takes away our sins. We are to produce the fruit according to the Spirit living in us. Look at the person's life and you will see. Love here is singular. It is not conditional. It's not that we are expecting something back. No, we want to do it. We want to love our brothers and sisters. We are to pray, to play the servant card, but we want to play the family card. We want to play that people can serve us. I have a lovely person who, this person wanted to join an Anglican school for her children. And a lovely Christian, only a few years of Christians, lovely person. She went to this, a Chinese person, and this person went to this school, and one day she phoned me, can we meet? Can we meet? I said, what's happening? She thought, because it was an Anglican school, everyone was going to be Christians. And she was horrified by the way people treated each other. And I said, I carry on loving them, she said. But she was in tears. Because how people treat each other. We need to be careful. We are to play the servant card. But do not use your freedom, verse 13, to indulge the flesh. Rather, what? Serve one another humbly in love. You see, language is so interesting because here it looks very nice, isn't it? But the real translation is this. A literal translation of this verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, will read like this. Shall we read together? So use your freedom by making yourself slaves to one another in love. Oh, we saw that video. How horrible was to see slavery on this man. Use your freedom to make yourself slave. It's difficult to digest this. But we need to be careful. You know, what is in your mind when we picture, what is in my mind when I picture slavery? I love that people like Martin Luther King, he could have been comfortable in his middle class church. He was very intelligent. He decided to walk that road to be a mouth for justice. Paul is calling for servanthood, not servitude. This is different. It is different between I have to do it or I want to do it. I'm going to church and I have to serve these people. I have no, that's wrong. It's because we want to do it. We want, the problem is that our sinful nature fights against every time it fights against in ourselves. You know, we want the attention, we want the spotlight, we want the center stage. Our fleshly nature doesn't want to serve others, it wants to be served. This is why Paul warns that we should not use our freedom to serve our sinful nature, but to serve others. Our flesh, our physical self has been corrupted by sin. It is selfish by nature. It is focused entirely on what it wants in its appetites. Ours is a culture of mine, me, my life, my way. Me, my rights. Paul says this. Paul, to me, the equivalent of a PhD, power, he has everything. You know what he did? I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessing. He left it all. He wanted to serve us. The first great theologian. He understood this. Let's see an example before we finish. In a short clip called I Am a Mechanic. How sometimes we could struggle to produce one gift of the Spirit. We have an example of a brother. We have this example of a brother who perhaps who had lost his joy. He could have been earning a lot of money. Now he is the mechanic. But his joy was not gone. This person will have the freedom to take a different attitude. We saw a man talking with humility about how he runs his business as an expression of what? Of his faith. And how he wants joy to be the signature of all he does. Sometimes we don't do it. We are not perfect. And we are going to meet people, and it's the Holy Spirit who is in our life who is going to produce those fruits. And it's up to us to allow the Holy Spirit to be free. To be free from those things that are going to hold us captive. Maybe in bitterness, maybe in hate or prejudice or lust. God wants us to be free. Selwyn Hughes share a few principles about, as I finish today, to recover the freedom that we should enjoy in Jesus. Sometimes we could lose our freedom as we are in this world. And the first principle, when we lose our freedom, is this: do not minimize sin. Do not minimize sin. Shall we say it together? Do not minimize sin. Perhaps you have hatred in your heart. You have unforgiveness in your heart. Perhaps you feel that you don't have joy. Remember, do not minimize sin. Never say it isn't important. Never say it isn't important. You know what? Because we have this idea that we have pink sins. Why things? whatever other names, you know, things. But that is not. And then Selwyn Hughes says the first principle is do not minimize sin and never say it isn't important. Shall we say it together? Never say it isn't important. Oh, it's just a little sin. The wages of sin is what? It's death. It's sin. We are living in a society that has created new labels for anything, you know, including sin, because it could be against human rights. And it says, some refer to adultery. That's adultery. Some refer to adultery as an affair. It's a very nice word. That's an affair. Oh, he has an affair. No, he's an adulterer. You see? Or some people says, oh, what is essentially promiscuous or life, or, you know, like, they say, oh, sleeping around. And I could mention more and more. Many people cannot experience the freedom of being forgiven because they do not admit they are in sin. And excuses is what we tend to use to avoid taking the full responsibility for our actions. Excuses and excuses. Oh, because my wife didn't have time for me. My husband didn't have time for me. Because my parents didn't have time for me. Admission of the seriousness of an issue, maybe small or big, is the prerequisite to finding full and free forgiveness. And you know, the next step that we have to do is to go for God for repentance. The next step is to go to God for repentance. The next step is to go to God for repentance. You remember King David? A wonderful example. Well, not wonderful, a good example. Take that back. 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know the story. This is King David being blessed. Everything. Relaxing. Bathsheba. Going sing. And in just a moment, he was not only committing adultery, he was a murderer. Lying. Everything. He did not admit. You remember when he comes to the prophet, he said, oh no, that man should be killed. You know, that's an horrible man. Sometimes we point other people sin, but not our. Oh, that's horrible. He said, you are the man. But he did it. David and Bathsheba, and when David recognized his sin, then he was able to repent and be restored. So my friend, this morning as I conclude, let's not take lightly small sins. It's a sin. And that will affect your character. And affect the church. And affect your family. The next step is to go to God for repentance. David said, have mercy on me. O God, according to your unfailing law, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Repentance is far more from being sorry. It is being sorry also for the condition of our heart that brought about sin. We need to be sorry. And the moment we do that, this fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, what else? Joy. Come back. Not because you try to be patient. No. You repent. I repent. And God, through His Spirit, brings this into life. You know what? The moment we do that, we are going to be fruitful in our front lines. May the Lord help us this week as we go out and we find sometimes difficult situations, difficult people, to be ready to produce those fruits for His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we are trapped in our own lives and we are trapped in our society that tells something different. Father, help us to understand. Help us not to make the same mistake the Galatians were doing, that it's about performance. It's about religious duties and liturgies. No, it's about our daily surrender to you. Father, we pray that if there is something in our lives that needs to be changed, help us to say it is not important. Help us to go back to you in repentance. And help us not to lose our joy, our kindness, our faithfulness, self-control because of sin. Help us to surrender our lives to you, and may your Holy Spirit help us to produce these fruits, to be fruitful on our front line for your glory. Amen.